You're listening to The Pulse. Bill Gates has done it. Oprah, Conan O'Brien, LeBron James, and Mark Zuckerberg have done it. Everywhere, people famous and not so famous are dumping ice water on their heads.
Oh, that's cool.
That was Wolf Blitzer getting doused. It's a campaign-turned-viral sensation to raise money for ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, and it's getting both cheers and jeers.
This campaign is particularly annoying.
That's Wharton marketing professor Deborah Small, who admits she has a bit of ice bucket fatigue. Her Wharton colleague, Leonard Lodish, disagrees.
Nobody has done anything unethical, immoral, or wrong, and there's been a lot of good that's happened.
With over $22 million raised in about 3 weeks, Deborah Small agrees the campaign has been a huge success, but she says it still leaves a bad taste in her mouth.
It kind of trivializes the cause. It makes it kind of a joke or a gimmick.
ALS is a neurodegenerative disease that slowly and cruelly robs people of their bodily functions. It kills nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord that are responsible for voluntary muscle control. Patients experience progressive weakness. They lose the ability to move, to swallow, to breathe. So, ice buckets and screeching aside for a moment, where does research stand? I asked Leo McCluskey, he's medical director of Penn's ALS Center, to give us an update. What are we learning about treating ALS? Is there any hope?
Well, there's always hope. Unfortunately, we only have one drug. It doesn't work very well. It's been basically out since the 90s. And subsequent clinical trials of investigational drugs have all pretty much failed. They have failed to demonstrate any benefit in the sense of slowing the disorder down. I mean, that's what we actually hope for at this point. Cure is a very large word in this disease at the moment. We're looking for a drug that robustly slows the disorder down. We don't have that drug yet. There are certainly, you know, drugs in the pipeline, drugs that we're trying that we hope may change that. But up to this point, as we speak, there is no such thing. Treatment really centers around management of symptoms. So, for example, we can manage for a time progressive troubles with swallowing and maintain people's hydration and nutrition.
And there is no cure at this point. Is there even a hint at a cure, something that seems promising?
There's no cure. I wish I could say with confidence that there was a cure around the corner. I don't believe that at the moment. I every day hope that that's wrong. But, you know, we keep trying, you know, in clinical trials and investigational stuff and research, hoping that something will hit.
Do you fully understand the mechanism of the disease? Do you have kind of the culprit, to put it in a simple term?
In simple terms, no. There may actually be more than one kind of ALS, more than one mechanism that culminates in a clinical syndrome that causes the progressive loss of these cells. We still need to know more about the mechanisms of cell death in ALS. We really don't understand it very well. We're a lot smarter than we used to be, but we need to be much smarter than that.
So the big influx of money to ALS research that has kind of rained down in the form of ice cubes in recent weeks, is that going to be helpful? Are we going to see results? What's your take on that?
Well, of course it's helpful. I think it's helpful in two ways. First of all, it raised or has continued to raise a lot of money, although medical research costs an enormous amount of money. And I heard a number today that perhaps between $10 and $15 million extra was raised this year. I mean, that sounds like a lot of money. This is a very difficult problem, and I wish I could say that for sure that amount of money is going to solve this disease. I think it's going to take more than that. The other thing I think that's happened with this is it's raised awareness about the disease, and I truly hope that it persists, that, you know, this doesn't sort of just lag off into the sunset, and we'll be back to the funding levels we were at last year.
Can your field learn from other neurodegenerative diseases? Is there a way you can work together even though you're pursuing different enemies, so to speak?
No, absolutely. In fact, we have a very collaborative group of people working in Parkinson's disease, in Huntington's disease, Alzheimer's disease, And in fact, all of our clinical and research data funnels through something called the Center for Neurodegenerative Disease Research at the University of Pennsylvania. So we have a common database that we share that is a research tool for all of us, a common genetics group that we work with. There's a common biomarker group that we work with. There may well be shared mechanisms of cell death, neurodegeneration that we can actually kind of latch onto, because there are many more Parkinson patients, for example, than there are ALS patients. So our patients, and we hope that neurodegenerative disease research in general will benefit all people who have a neurodegenerative disorder.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Leo McCluskey is medical director of Penn's ALS Center, and this was perhaps a bit of an ice bucket-like reminder that research is slow and difficult work.